outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, July the 1st, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of The Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well, as we like to say often on this program. We don't wish our enemies well, folks, because when our enemies are doing well, we're doing very, very badly. And by that, what I mean is just go and watch one of the Terminator films, and you'll get a pretty good idea of what doing badly really means. Anyway, folks, a lot's happened since the last time we were together. We will be talking about that. We are joined once again by our good friend Stas. All-around great guy, a great Gentile, a credit to humanity. Folks, when we refer to Jesus Christ as King of the Gentiles, we're not just playing games with words. We really do mean that. We read in the Gospels, which are really the best historical record that we have of what took place between Jesus and the Jews. We read that Pontius Pilate offered the Jews Jesus as their king instead of Barabbas. Their response to that, a very shrill and loud response, is, "We have no king but Caesar." They wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ, and they want nothing to do with him today. Now, folks, this isn't religion, just for the record, just so that we understand where all of this is going. This is not about religion. This is about politics. This is about culture. This is about our own continued existence as a very distinct species of humanity known as the Gentiles. Okay. Whether you look at Jesus as a religious figure, whether you are deeply religious, whether you're an atheist, nevertheless, there are certain things about the story involving Jesus Christ and the war that he was waging against what was the Jewish state during his time. There are things about this that ring true, not just throughout the ages, but throughout eternity, folks. And this is why we find ourselves in the mess that we're in right now, is because people have not put all of the pieces of this puzzle together in such a way involving Jesus Christ and what was taking place 2,000 years ago in a practical way that makes sense for all of us today. His enemies, folks, and please, nobody out there listening to the program, don't send me emails trying to school me on how the Jews of today are not really the Jews of yesterday or the Hebrews of yesterday or the Israelites of yesterday, blah, blah, blah. We have been down that road a million times before, folks, and it really is a pointless discussion to be had, especially for those who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, because back during that time, that monumental moment in human history where the Jews were screaming, "We have no king but Caesar," there were no Khazars, there was no Illuminati, there were no Jesuits, all of these other gonna get ya things out there. They didn't exist, folks. All that existed on that day, in that morning in Jerusalem, were the Jews of Jesus' time. And there was no Talmud in existence either, folks. All they had was the law of Moses. as laid out in the Old Testament. So we find ourselves in this situation right now, folks, because the same people who were ripping their clothes and pulling out their hair and gnashing their teeth and scratching at their faces and all of the rest of the stuff as it's described in the Gospels, because we did not pay close attention to what was taking place on a political level that morning, Crucifixion Friday, 33 AD. The same people, the great-great-grandchildren of those people today, folks, now hold a razor blade to the throat of humanity and are completely intent upon finishing this mission that they set themselves out to do thousands of years ago. This is something very important to keep in mind, folks, is that this is not something new. These people have hated us since before any of us ever took our first breath. They have hated us for thousands of years before we were ever born. And they are absolutely intent upon destroying us. And everything that we see taking place right now, folks, whether it is Middle East, whether it's the Middle East, or whether it's, take your pick, any place on the planet, this battle is raging. This battle is raging, and our resources, folks, are very unimpressive. Nobody seems to really grasp what's going on. They think that this is something that's limited simply to Gaza or to the West Bank or to Iran. It's not, folks. It covers the globe, north to south, east to west, in a 360-degree arc. Now, we say this, folks, because once again on today's program, you're probably going to hear some degree of criticism about the conversations that are taking place out there these days. And we don't like being critical, folks. We don't mean to be overly critical. But the fact of the matter is that we would be remiss in our duties here on this humble little informational endeavor if we did not point out the obvious defeats that are taking place on the battlefield. Defeats that could be avoided, defeats that could be remedied. And if this were just a friendly game of chess, folks, or a friendly game of football or something like that, I suppose it really wouldn't matter. But the stakes are much higher than that. The stakes are nothing less than life and death for 8 billion people here on this planet. Now, anyway, folks, as I said earlier, we have lots to discuss. Lots has happened since we were last together. The last time we were together, our good friend Stas and I were discussing what happened to force Donald Trump, President of the United States, to force his hand in launching these strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities when he is dead set against war and has promised the world, not just the American people who voted for him, but the world, that he will use the strength and the power of the United States to prevent war and to bring an end to those wars that exist. And yet, here he is launching these strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities, and everybody's in an uproar. Everybody across what we refer to here on this program as the blabosphere, folks, meaning the blah, blah, blah types. They've got their podcasts and their other ways of speaking to large numbers of people. A week ago, it looked like we really were in the middle of World War III, and Donald Trump, President of the United States, he was going to be the Grand Marshal, bringing all of this right to our front doors. And now, folks, it's gone. At the blink of an eye, at the snap of a fingers, it's gone. Where did this war go? This war that we were told by all sorts of very impressively credentialed individuals with PhDs, people with all sorts of military backgrounds and all of the rest of that, were predicting the worst. And folks, just for the record, the worst may very well be on its way. Okay, just because the president seemed to have pulled the lit fuse out of this bomb, out of this stick of dynamite, does not mean that it's not going to get lit again, or that a new stick of dynamite is not going to get lit. Because as we said earlier, and as we try to point out on this program as much as possible, folks, we are dealing with Armageddonists here. We're dealing with arsonists. We're dealing with people who believe that they have been commanded by this violent deity that they worship, that they are supposed to incinerate the entire world. And if they don't do this, they're going to find themselves in some hot soup. Anyway, folks, this is going to form the conversation that's going to take place today between yours truly and our good friend Stas. We're going to go ahead and bring our good friend up into this discussion. Stas, are you with us?
I am here. I am here. The ugly truth getting uglier every week, every second. I can't help saying that
because it's the truth. Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's
Stas.
So stressful, by the way, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, very stressful.
With anybody listening.
Sorry. Yeah, very stressful, no question about it. And not just because of what's happening on the ground in real time, where our world is inching closer and closer to its own demise, but rather because of the kinds of conversations that are taking place out there. As we have said many times on this program, and we will reiterate it now, folks, we're in the mess that we're in because at any given moment, the wrong conversation is taking place. People right now are hungry to find out what the hell is going on in their world, and they tune into various neighborhoods that we would call, you know, the alternative media, looking for answers, and they come up with something that doesn't make any sense. I saw a headline to a video, folks, just within the last 30 minutes or so, on, you know, an otherwise very reputable program hosted by Judge Napolitano. We're not going to spend too much time talking about it. And honestly, folks, I can't even really give any commentary on it other than on the title of it because I didn't listen to it. But the title of it was, Is President Trump Going to Nuke Iran? And this was a recent program, folks. This wasn't a week ago or, you know, right after the United States launched these airstrikes to destroy the three nuclear facilities in Iran. This is within the last, I think, 12 hours. Okay. Is President Trump going to nuke Iran? Okay. That's not the question we should be having, folks. The question that we should be having, I'm sorry, the conversation is Israel going to nuke Iran? Or even more appropriate to today's topic, folks, was Israel about to nuke Iran? Stas, I've just introduced the topic of the program today, and on that note, I'm going to start off with our first news story, unless you had something you wanted to add to that.
I just want to say I'll speak for you. After looking at all these pundits getting a lot of money, all these experts, professors, former military people, I'm going to go on record saying, at least me, and maybe you can speak for yourself, I am smarter than all of them. There you go. I said it. I said it. I now believe that. They have degrees and millions of dollars. I said it. No, I don't know. That's what I'm feeling after looking to some of these things. I know people are going to be, what is this guy saying?
No. Actually, Stas, I wouldn't disagree with you. But where I would disagree with the entire approach of this thing is that you don't have to be that smart to figure this stuff out. Okay. It's like pouring, pardon the French here, folks, this early in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's like pouring piss out of a boot with the directions on the heel. You can't get it wrong unless you really, really try to get it wrong. So this stuff doesn't require a lot of common sense. And that's what's so frightening about this, Stas, is that people with their, as I said, their very impressive degrees, their very lofty positions in society in terms of opinion makers or quote-unquote influencers, to borrow a term that is used a lot these days, okay, it really is just common sense stuff. Okay, I put a an op-ed. I'm going to read it to you very quickly here, folks. Hold on just a second. I put an op-ed, a little ed note, onto the story that I wrote, the story that I posted on the website. The title of the story is, quote unquote, "Stop Everything. Trump raised his voice at Netanyahu in, quote unquote, tense call over calling off the airstrikes." Now, my ed note to this, uncharacteristically short for yours truly, given as wordy as I tend to be, I wrote as follows. A president of the United States who calls the most politically powerful Jew in the world, Benjamin Netanyahu, and raises his voice to him and gives him or else orders is not by definition owned by the Jews. Okay? Folks, you wouldn't believe, or maybe you would, believe the amount of flack that we had to deal with here on this website as a result of that simple paragraph, sentence. I'll just read it to you again, folks. First of all, let me reread the title of the news story. A news story that I didn't write, folks. It appeared on the Jerusalem Post, a very pro-Netanyahu, right-wing, pro-war website in Israel. And the title of it is, quote, "Stop Everything," unquote. President Trump raised his voice at Netanyahu in tense phone call over calling off the airstrikes. And my EdNote commentary before the story begins went again as follows. A president of the United States who calls the most politically powerful Jew in the world, Benjamin Netanyahu, raises his voice to him and gives him or else orders is not by definition owned by the Jews. Now, folks, that is as much a no-brainer as no-brainers get. Okay, when in the last time, and I'm not going to ask this rhetorically, I'm going to ask this specifically of you, Stas. When's the last time we read a news story about a president of the United States picking up the phone, calling any prime minister of the state of Israel, and in a quote-unquote tense phone call and in very strong and loud language, gives him orders? Stas, when's the last time you remember anything of that sort taking place?
I would say it would be like 1962 JFK on the phone with Ben Gurion.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so how is this possible? We're just asking a question here, folks. How is it possible for Donald Trump to be a puppet of Netanyahu, a puppet of Miriam Adelson, a puppet of Israel and the Jewish lobby and everything else that we hear on all of these very well-traveled and well-listened-to podcasts? How is it possible for somebody to be both things at the same time when they are complete opposites to each other? Okay? He can't be owned by Netanyahu and owned by the Jews and yet picks up the phone and tells Netanyahu to cease and desist with what was a planned strike against Iran. He can't be both things at the same time. So somebody here, folks, is right and somebody's wrong. And I would say, I would agree with Stas in this case, that the two Frog Brothers, I'll explain what that means in a moment, folks. That's Frog with two G's, by the way, folks. Those of you who appreciate good symbolic filmography, I guess we would call it, know who the Frog Brothers were. They were two characters in the movie The Lost Boys about these vampires, these two brothers, and they are, they're fighting for truth, justice, and the American way, and they're the only ones in this town of Santa Clara, I think it's called, or Santa Carla. They're the only ones who know about the vampire problem, and nobody believes them. Okay, they're the only ones. So the Frog Brothers, folks, that's what you have here on this program, the Frog Brothers. Yes, folks, unfortunately, in this situation, you have two people who seem to have put the pieces of this puzzle together in a way that makes sense. And unfortunately, folks, everybody else, they're running around just as former Mossad head Rafael Eitan once said, that once we have settled the land, taken over the land, the only thing that they, the Gentiles, will be able to do is to run, is to scurry around like drugged cockroaches in a bottle. Anyway, Stas, I've got a sound bite we're going to play first of all, and then we're going to dive into some of the news stories. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Sorry I interrupted that.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I had to put that truth bomb out there to put what I feel is the context of what's going on now.
Fine. Sorry. That sounds good to me. I have no problems with that. Okay, let's give this very important soundbite a listen, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think so, but I'm not happy that Israel's going out now. There was one rocket that I guess was fired overboard. It was after the time limit, and it missed its target. And now Israel's going out. These guys got to calm down. Ridiculous. I didn't like plenty of things I saw yesterday. I didn't like the fact that Israel unloaded right after we made the deal. They didn't have to unload. And I didn't like the fact that the retaliation was very strong. But in all fairness, Israel unloaded a lot. And now I hear Israel just went out because they felt it was violated by one rocket that didn't land anywhere. That's not what we want, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about that, Israel, either. All I do is play both sides. I'm going now, as you know, to NATO. Some of you are going with me, and I think it's going to be successful. We'll see. I'll let you know.
Are you going to see the agreement? It's a new dawn in the Middle East. Essentially, the agreement you managed to achieve. What are your future plans for the region, for Saudi Arabia, Israel, Gaza, the hostages?
Look, you're asking me about women in the Middle East. It's getting a lot better. Things are happening at a high level. As you know, Saudi Arabia's done a really good job. It's coming out far, far faster than I thought. So we're very happy about what's happening with women in the Middle East.
No, I'm talking about a new dawn in the Middle East that you managed to achieve last night.
Yeah.
The region is going to a new place with this agreement. Can you tell us what's your future plans for Gaza, for the hostages?
Yeah. It's a new dawn. I appreciate the question. You're very nice. Who are you?
Thank you. I'm Nerea Kraus from Israeli Channel 13 News.
Well, we have to have Israel calm down because they went on a mission this morning. I got to get Israel to calm down now.
Did you get to speak with the Prime Minister? Did you talk to Prime Minister Netanyahu last night?
I speak to everybody.
You urged both sides not to violate the ceasefire, but reports coming from the region suggest that the sides accuse each other for violating the ceasefire. So
I think
what
they both violated it. I'm not sure they did it intentionally. They couldn't rein people back. I don't like the fact that Israel went out this morning at all, and I'm going to see if I can stop it. So as soon as I get away from you, I'm going to see if I can stop it, okay? I think it's been completely demolished. I think the reason we're here is because those pilots, those B-2 pilots, did an unbelievable job. And, you know, the fake news, like CNN in particular, they're trying to say, well, I agree that it was destroyed, but maybe not that destroyed. You know what they're doing? They're really hurting great pilots that put their lives in the line. CNN is scum, and so is MSDNC. They're all. And frankly, the networks aren't much better. It's all fake news, but they should not have done that. Those pilots hit their targets. Those targets were obliterated, and the pilots should be given credit. They're not after the pilots, they're after me. They want to try and demean.
Do you believe that Iran can rebuild its nuclear program?
Iran will never rebuild its nuclear. From there? Absolutely not. That place is under rock. That place is demolished. The B-2 pilots did their job. They did it better than anybody could even imagine. They hit late in the evening. It was dark with no moon, and they hit that target with every one of those things, and that place is gone. But when I see CNN all night long, they're trying to say, well, maybe it wasn't really as demolished as we thought. It was demolished. You take a look at the pinpricks, and you see that place is gone. And I will say, I think CNN ought to apologize to the pilots of the B-2s. I think that MSDNC ought to apologize. I think these guys really, these networks and these cable networks are real losers. You really are. You're real losers. You're gutless losers. I say that to CNN because I watch it. I have no choice. I got to watch that garbage. It's all garbage. It's all fake news. But I think CNN is a gutless group of people. And the people that run it, nobody even knows it's been sold so many times. But the people that run it ought to be ashamed. MSDNC, a guy named Brian Roberts, he heads it. He's a disgrace. He's a weak, pathetic disgrace. Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it, too.
Are you questioning if Israel was committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
So that was the President of the United States, Donald Trump, answering questions to reporters prior to boarding his flight for the NATO meeting. Folks, unless you have deaf spots in your hearing, okay, there's no way to avoid missing or misunderstanding that the President of the United States was very, very vocally unhappy with Israel. How many times did he say it within that 6 minute something soundbite? I'm very unhappy with Israel. We made a deal. Israel violated it. We got to get them to calm down. The narrative, folks, is completely different. It's completely different than it has been, and it is completely different than what we are being told on all of these various alternative media outlets, that the President of the United States, just like most of his predecessors, is just a tool of the Jews. Okay? And it's not just lip service. That's what some people are going to say. Oh, this is just an act. This is just a hoax. This is to make it look like he's really not in Netanyahu's back pocket. No, folks. No. A week or so ago, okay, we were in the middle of what is now being referred to as the 12-day war. Israel was bombing the hell out of Iran, and then it stopped. Why did it stop, folks? Because the President of the United States stepped in and told the Israelis, specifically told Benjamin Netanyahu in a quote-unquote tense phone call and in a elevated voice, cease and desist. Sorry, folks, we're getting some interference here. Okay, cease and desist. Okay. And again, folks, president that is owned by the Jews and owned by Netanyahu and owned by Miriam Adelson doesn't do that. Stas, you heard the soundbite. Your impressions?
It's like nothing, another thing where it's like nothing we've ever heard before. In fact, it's even more out in the open than the press conference that he had with Bibi himself.
Mm-hmm.
He is speaking like Eric is speaking. This is another thing that outrages me. When you talk to people, this is how people should be talking on the street. And I always go to, do you want your son and daughter to go fight forever? Do you want to get caught up in this? And do you want to murder an entire country based on something that they haven't even done? That type of thing. And he's got the righteous anger, and he's saying it how it is, and how serious he is. And he's actually, yes, I mean, it shows how serious this situation is. I mean, it's like almost something that you would yell in an emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Right.
And he's actually saying to some of his constituents, who many are just Israel first, no matter what, like, hey, wake up.
Yeah,
this
wake
isn't
up.
A game here.
Wake the F up.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. Wake the F up.
Yeah. And I've had this conversation with people that are Israel first. I mean, please, don't you know anything? USS Liberty, what's really behind 9/11? And ridiculous conversations I've had, like, well, people tell me, well, Hamas has the hostages. I mean, they've killed, what is it, over 60,000 now? Going on 70?
All right, now, Stas, for those who will respond to you and say, well, if there really is this behind-the-scenes war taking place between the president and Netanyahu and what we would call the Jewish lobby, folks, I know Professor Mearsheimer and others don't like to use the word Jewish lobby. They prefer the Israel lobby. But no, folks, it's the Jewish lobby. Okay, because it's not just Israel. Okay, they've got all sorts of other fingers in the pie here, the public pie, that are unrelated to Israel and which affect all of us on a domestic level. But anyway, for those of you, for those out there, Stas, who are saying, responding to you saying, well, if there is this behind the scenes war taking place between the President of the United States and Benjamin Netanyahu, why doesn't the President just come out and say it? Why doesn't he just come clean with the American people and with the people of the world and say, look, the Jews are a problem, Israel's a problem, we got to do something about this before they incinerate the entire planet? Why does he not do that, Stas?
Because he would definitely lose a lot of his base, who he has to play the role of a hawk, that he's actually tougher than Biden, that he's the real friend of Israel, in a sense. So if he comes out too directly, just all these people will erode his base power.
Devil's advocate here says, well, so what? He's the president of the United States. He's the most powerful man in the world. He can do whatever he wants. Nobody can stop him. How do you respond to that?
He still has to deal with the powerful media and senators and Congress.
What can the media do? They can't arrest him. They can't drop bombs on him. What can the media and what can Congress do to tie the hands of the most powerful man in the world, the President of the United States?
They can get on the media 24 hours a day and go, he's insane. He is being weak on Iran, who might be nuclear capable. A narrative that's been pushed for over 30 years.
Okay, yes.
That's programmed in the minds of the American people. Like, what are you? You're putting us at risk.
They can do, is our point, folks. Yeah. There is they can do, and anybody who doubts that, okay? Look, impeachments take place. You know, a conversation that Stas and I were having this weekend, the best way to understand this, folks, is that the President of the United States, really any political leader, you know, they are literally the head of the ship of state. Now, if you think about ships, the way that they used to travel, where they had to rely on the power of wind to bring them from point A to point B, this is basically what we're dealing with here. As the captain of a ship of state, you can only go where the winds take you, the political winds, okay? If the wind is at your back, it's going to push your ship exactly in the direction that you need it to go. If the wind is blowing at your face and it's blowing from the direction where you need to go, then you have to figure out a way to take that ship and either anchor it or do something so that the winds have no effect on where you're at. At the very least, you're not going to move. You're not going to make any progress towards where you need to go. Okay, so these political winds, folks, meaning the support or the lack of support that a president, the most powerful man in the world, the support or lack of support that he gets has a very powerful effect on his ability to get anything done. Because I can guarantee you, folks, and I'm sure that my co-host would agree with me, the phones in the offices of all of these members of Congress are ringing off the wall every day by the pro-Jewish lobby, the Jewish lobby, the pro-Israel lobby. Whether they're actual Zionist Jews or whether they're these insane Christian evangelicals, they are calling Congress 24 hours a day and putting the heat on these congressmen to put the heat on the president. I guarantee you that when the president announced a ceasefire between Israel and Iran, the phones were absolutely ringing off the hook and burning up everything in protest, in complaints. And these members of Congress, remember, folks, as we've said many times on this program, the president's influence in Congress, even though both houses are nominally, at least, in the hands of the Republicans, he doesn't have that much support. Okay? He doesn't have as much as it appears to be on a surface level, on a superficial level. There could be impeachment hearings started tomorrow. And he has to hope that the people in Congress fear their own pro-Trump constituencies more than they fear the Jews who are constantly pounding on their doors and making demands and threats. Stas, what would you like to add to that?
I just want to say that I think always it plays into the support for Trump is always fragile, as we can see. As soon as he does anything not to the liking, they unload of him. Look at the difference between how the alternative media and the regular media was on Biden. They weren't that hard on him compared to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the genocide was happening on his watch.
I'm going to hit on a news story here, very important news story, folks, that popped up just within minutes of the last program being posted. And it is entitled, quote, "I halted a massive attack on Tehran that Israel was planning." Let's see. Comes off of the Israel National News website, folks. U.S. President Donald Trump unleashed a scathing critique of Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei on Friday after Khamenei claimed that his country had achieved a quote-unquote victory in the war against Israel. In a lengthy post on his Truth Social platform, Trump said that the supreme leader was lying about a victory against Israel and revealed that he had been working on potential sanctions relief for Iran, which he promptly ceased after Khamenei's comments. Okay, well, folks, we'll skip all of that and get right to the important point. Trump stated that he halted a major Israeli aerial assault on the city of Tehran. Quote, "In fact, in the final act of the war, I demanded that Israel bring back a very large group of planes which were heading directly towards Tehran, looking for a big day, perhaps the final knockout." And the president ends that statement with an exclamation point. "Tremendous damage would have ensued and many Iranians would have been killed. It was going to be the biggest attack of the war by far." All right, now, folks, think back to the discussion that we were having last week where yours truly and our special guest host, Stas, put forth the theory that possibly one of the reasons that the president found it necessary to destroy the three Iranian nuclear sites was because U.S. intelligence had gotten information to him that the Jews were planning to use nuclear weapons against Iran. Okay? Well, here, according to the president himself, okay, using his own words, "In the final act of the war, I demand that Israel bring back a very large group of planes which were heading directly towards Tehran, looking for a big day, perhaps the final knockout, exclamation point. Tremendous damage would have ensued and many Iranians would have been killed. It was going to be the biggest attack of the war by far." Okay, so folks, what was on those planes? What was it about this that was so bad that the President of the United States ordered the planes to return and ordered a ceasefire between the Israelis and Iran. Now, why is this important, folks? This isn't about gloating. This isn't about saying we told you so. Okay? We don't know definitively that the Israelis were planning to use nuclear weapons and that the president got wind of this, and this is what prompted him to step into this in the fashion that he did by destroying Iran's three nuclear facilities. Okay? The problem is that that conversation that should have been taking place across every, within every nook and cranny of the alternative media simply wasn't taking place. To the best of my knowledge, folks, maybe Stas will be able to enlighten us on this and say that, you know, somebody out there had advanced the same idea. I don't know. But if we look at the all of the headlines on these various programs that were done in the immediate aftermath of the president destroying these three nuclear facilities, I didn't see any mention of this at all. Stas, did you see any mention of this?
I have not. I've been scanning as many as I could stand of the so-called pundits, and they're all basically the war is being driven because Iran's hypersonic missiles have overwhelmed Israel, and Trump made a huge mistake in his Natanz strike. Nobody's saying anything like maybe Trump stopped a very nuclear-capable Israel in the take-back-your-planes situation that happened. It's all been like he's a fool, and even worse than that, they're kind of saying that they're going through the strike and saying it's completely failed, that the Iranians are built an excellent place, which is true, but that it was totally useless. And I think they're feeding into what the Israelis want.
Absolutely.
The Israelis,
absolutely.
Yeah, want that.
They've got to have that narrative that the strikes were unsuccessful and that Iran's new. And you can see that, folks, if you just read the Jewish press on any given day. They're all saying that Trump's strikes, as much as we appreciate them, quote-unquote, nevertheless, they're insufficient. That is, that Iran's going to be back to building a nuclear weapon before they have finished their falafel lunch. Okay? This is what they're saying. And so anybody who thinks that that the strikes on the nuclear facilities is what Benjamin Netanyahu wanted, folks, it isn't. What he wants is war. Total destructive war against Iran. He wants to see what happened against Iraq done to Iran. And so by the president going in and destroying the nuclear facilities, he has just taken Netanyahu's reason for continuing World War III off the table. So naturally what they have to do is they have to say, well, he really didn't do a very good job. And unfortunately, folks, as Stas just pointed out, the alternative media is carrying the water for these people by repeating that same line. This, folks, if I sound frustrated, it's because I'm not as much frustrated as I am perplexed. How do they not understand that they are playing into the hands of the warmongers by furthering this narrative? How do they not see this? Stas, please, fill in the blanks for all of us. How do they not see this?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Alistair Cook, one of the lead pundits, he's very knowledgeable. I don't want to sound weird or whatever. I think he's more than a diplomat. He seems like he's MI6 or formerly. He's saying that the bunker bombs, you know, and Trump is, it's messed up. They don't go deep enough. To their credit, of course, the Iranians have built excellent facilities. They're very deep. And then he says these are nowhere deep good enough to take out the bunkers, that you need a nuke. And I was like, oh my God, you're making it worse.
Exactly.
Because clearly to me, and I could be wrong, what I'm proud of is another part of the resistance is there's got to be a decent back channel between Trump's people and Iran.
Sure.
And they came up. they probably came up with, okay, to make it simple, I'll call it the phony Natan strike. They've got the phony Qatar base strike.
Sure.
And the Supreme Leader and his men are probably dealing with, in their culture, a similar thing as to Trump. That, and then, you know, the scenario is probably like this. Look, they get on the phone, they're yelling at each other, like, look, you guys, this is not our militaries in a normal conventional war where we can go toe to toe. This, we're dealing with some crazy people that just want to completely level cities.
Yep.
Level Tehran to the, talking about not one thing, not happy unless if there's one single brick standing.
Exactly. Yep.
Type of thing. They're trying to avoid that. Not normal conventional war where you fight and you know, just some militaries mix it up and then you have a diplomacy and you settle things. This is not that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're dealing with. This is what Putin is dealing with Trump. And I think they worked out a great thing. And the irony of it is the Truth Movement, the alternative media, whichever, I can never settle on what to call them. I got to say, and they're making it worse. They're making the argument that, holy moly, the way I'm reading Alistair Crook is you got to go in there with commandos, take the whole city, drop some tactical nukes, and go down there and make sure it's blown up. I mean, mm-hmm. Knock it off.
Yeah.
So they've disabled it. That's fine. Then you go to peace talks. Stop talking about the effectiveness or Trump is stupid or he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's like, yes, of course, that strike should have never happened, but he doesn't have that option.
This absolutely. Like, yeah. As long as those facilities continue to exist, Netanyahu had the excuse that he needed to continue the war. Just like the hostage situation. Netanyahu doesn't want those hostages back. As soon as the hostages are back, there's no more reason to continue the war in Gaza. Okay? Again, folks, this is something that we, you know, point out often. These are not normal rules. This is not a normal situation. Anytime that the Jews are involved, you're dealing with an abnormal playing field. Okay, you're dealing with something that's just completely different than the way Gentiles operate in the world. Okay, and the President of the United States, again, folks, Stas, we're going to do our little mathematical thing that we did a couple of months ago. Okay, now I'm sorry to have to spring it on you in this fashion, but it's an important point to be made. Okay, And by no means, folks, am I a mathematical genius. I can spell the word math, but that's about it, okay? But nevertheless, I do understand some basic algebraic equations here, one of which, and Stas is going to help us out because he's probably better at math than I am. Okay, Stas, 2x equals 4. What's x?
8.
No.
I'm the worst at math.
Okay. 2x equals 4. Okay. X is 2, folks, because that's the unknown. That's the question mark. Okay. 2x equals 4. X is 2. Okay. Stas, 3x equals 6. What's X?
I hope it's 3.
No.
No.
3x.
Oh, it's 2 again.
Is 2. Is 2.
Yeah.
4x equals 8. What's x?
2 again?
Yeah. You see, folks, what we have here is what's known as a constant. Okay? No matter what number you put in front of x, when you know that x equals 2, then when you put that other number in front of it, okay, 2x equals 4, 3x equals 6, 4x equals 8, 5x equals 10, on and on and on. As long as you know what x is, then no matter what number goes in front of x, you'll be able to figure out what the end result of it is. Okay, now, in this comparison, folks, the constant, the invariable in this, is that Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, doesn't like war. In particular, folks, he doesn't like those wars that stand the possibility of escalating into nuclear war. Again, folks, go back and read the interview that Donald Trump did 40 years ago with Manhattan Incorporated magazine, where he expounds upon his views of nuclear war. And this was 40 years ago, folks, 40 years ago. And how it's the number one issue. It was the number one issue to him 40 years ago. Therefore, ladies and Gentile men, when the president does these things on the world stage, such as bombing the Iranian nuclear facilities, such as whatever it is that he's doing, the invariable in this, the constant, the X, is that he's out to prevent World War III. Okay? He's not out to start World War III. He's not trying to make Benjamin Netanyahu happy. He hates Benjamin Netanyahu's guts, folks. Again, go back and read the Book of Revelations. And I'm not talking about the last book of the Christian Bible, folks, the Book of Revelations that we hear so much about these days, but the Book of Revelations known as Trump's Peace, written by the Israeli journalist Barak Ravid. Anybody entertaining any notions about Donald Trump's subservience to Benjamin Netanyahu, read that book and you will never open your mouth and say such foolishness again. He hates Netanyahu's guts and he's out to get even with him for what he knows Netanyahu did to him in robbing him of the victory of the 2020 elections. Okay. Now, this is very important, folks, because as Daz and I said before, the president, in many ways, folks, you and I have, we have more freedom to move and to maneuver than he does. Okay. He cannot come out publicly. He couldn't do a podcast or one of his posts on Truth Social where he says the kind of things that we've said on today's program that appear on the website. He couldn't do that. If he did, his world would go nuclear. Okay, the media, the Congress, everybody would be on top of him. He wouldn't be able to do anything. Okay, they would have, you know, the articles of impeachment that have already been written up, folks. They've already been, you can absolutely take that to the bank. They've already been written up. They're sitting in somebody's drawer in Congress, probably in AIPAC's office, to be honest. And all it would require is for them to be signed and dated. And yes, even from somebody such as the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who appears nominally to be a Republican and nominally in Trump's camp. But if he is forced to choose between the power of the Jewish lobby versus his principles, folks, we've already seen what happens in that situation over and over again. Stas, there was another very interesting article that came out. I'm going to touch on that quickly unless you wanted to add something to what I just said.
No, this is awesome. And I hope I'm not going too far afield. I just want to make a brief comment.
Sure.
Before I jumped in with you, you had done an analogy of this is like the two dinosaurs. And I'm not saying that Trump is the bad guy or whatever, but he is the other dinosaur, the America First dinosaur, who wants peace.
Yep.
But, you know, be realistic, folks who are listening. He has also an army of thugs that keep him going. And so he walks the line between them and the true deep state.
Mm-hmm.
The Mossad, MI6, CIA group, of which the head of the Mossad just gone on, and he said, I'm working with Shin Bet, I'm working with IDF, and he said, but I'm also working closely with my friends in the CIA.
Yes.
That's not good.
No,
so
that's
we're
not.
We're rooting for the Tyrannosaurus Rex, as you said before, that is with Trump.
Yes.
But we have to be real in the real world. He, to my mind, and I could be wrong, but he has to constantly offer them meat.
Yes.
And that is the form of capitalism used in a good way.
Yes.
So he's promising them. Look, I mean, they want to go to war. These guys are the warrior class. They stand to get more rich and powerful. See, he's saying to them, no, 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 no. Don't mess with Iran. I'm going to give you security contracts. You will protect the sheiks.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you big contracts. And down the road, he's saying, listen, let's have peace. I will give you security contracts in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
You will protect these areas. Don't go to war. And what I mean by that, he's got to give them something. But he's also got to give them shows once in a while,
yep.
Like the Natanz, like the Fordham attacks and all these things. Something that makes them look good and make money. Let's build more. So anybody in the truth movement should start to play along and back the president. Otherwise, if he goes down, then they turn into real war, real time. And Iran won't be able to hold off their people. And Trump won't be able to hold up theirs. I'm just sort of reiterating what we were saying before, the important thing. They're just stepping on landmines all over the place.
Exactly, yep.
You know, that Trump stink, and that also, you know, I'm not putting Iran down or whatever, but they were going with the narrative that the ceasefire is a result purely that Israel was on the ropes, they were about to collapse. I don't know if I buy that.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going more with Trump stopped actual nuclear attack on Tehran, and maybe even a even worse scenario, that a bomb would go off in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and moments later, the IDF looks like a hero dropping nukes on Tehran, saying,
absolutely.
See,
yep.
You were weak, mm-hmm. Donald Trump. This knock off any of this idea of these silly peace talk, that's just a dream. You're naive. You don't know how the Middle East works.
Exactly.
You're not under the gun. Now you are. Now that the city of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
now that a sect of Islam that had some quarrels with Iran, the entire city of Detroit or something like that,
mm-hmm.
is a mushroom cloud. And you know what? It's your fault. In addition to that, the Europeans who are your detractors are correct also. You are weak with Russia. And as a result,
mm-hmm.
they have supported Iran. Or scenarios like that, something of which Trump would never be able to return
no.
from. There's nowhere else. There's nowhere out. He would have to become, I would argue, then you'd get your wish. He would have to be worse than Biden
mm-hmm.
because the guy's got a family. Maybe he doesn't mind going to heaven, but you've got Barron is still there. Unlike, this sounds crazy, but unlike Mr. Biden, I don't think Jill Biden loves him. I don't think Hunter Biden loves him. He's got a nasty family.
Yeah.
Trump is in the real world with a nice family, people to worry about. At least I'm doing the best I can to put myself in the shoes of the president.
Yeah.
He's got, there's leverage available for him. There was none. And Kamala Harris. I don't know how much has been written around. I think her husband would be running the show with his in the shadows.
Sure. And sure.
If he wasn't already.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, for those who aren't aware, her husband is of the non-Gentilish persuasion. So yes, having him as the first husband, quote unquote, would effectively give Netanyahu and the Jewish lobby just carte blanche in the White House in ways that they have never had before.
Yeah, we got a gift from God. Then a guy, we found a guy that was been doing business so long that just as you expertly pointed out, he has done an end run around all of them. He has the Qataris in his back pocket. Donald Trump is not owned by Israel. He found his way out from under it.
Yes.
Just like JFK.
Absolutely.
Did when him and his brother betrayed the American mafia structural group. I get all kind of weird names for this. That's what I call them now. And then he paid the price for it. And now we've got a shot at it again. And they're just dumping on him. I mean, calling him narcissist, calling him stupid. He plays checkers, not chess. They're too much armchair quarterbacking him. The more I think about it, the reason why the press is calling him a mafia man for his talk is because he is.
Absolutely.
He's giving it back, and he's playing their game, and they don't want it. They don't want it.
Absolutely.
They don't want it. They don't want to hear it. Nobody talks to the prime minister like that. Nobody says to Israel that you're effing up by your strategy. It's mm-hmm. against the law.
Yep.
The real law, the Deuteronomic law. And
beautiful. That's brilliant, Stas. Brilliant. Everything you just said.
Thank you.
Yeah, so
go off too much in a tangent.
No. Tangents are good anyway. You know what happens when you go off on tangents? You go off on side roads. You find things that you would not find, folks. Okay, yes. So let's move on to the next topic here, folks. Very interesting story that appeared on the Times of Israel since last time we were together. Staunch ally of President Trump, U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene publicly exposes link between the JFK assassination and his opposition to Israeli nuclear weapons. Again, folks, this is coming off of the Times of Israel. U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene appeared to suggest a link between Israel and the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy on Tuesday before asking whether President Trump should now fear for his life after he, quote, rebuked Israel. Folks, before we proceed with this, it should be noted that Marjorie Taylor Greene, the very, very honorable Marjorie Taylor Greene, and by the way, Mrs. Greene, Honorable Representative Greene, anytime you want to come on this program, you are more than welcome. We don't expect it to happen, folks. In fact, I think that the possibility of that falls into the same likelihood as a snowball's chance in hell. But nevertheless, Miss Greene, if you've decided that you don't have enough harassment and aggravation in your life and that you need a little bit more, you know that you have an open invitation to come on the program anytime. Anyway, folks, the story continues as follows. Green, a firebrand Republican from Georgia, floated the theory at the end of a tirade, quote unquote, they always have to make it like that, against Mark Levin. I've never heard her tirade, folks. She's always very soft-spoken, very reasonable, but this is what the Jews do. You know, they refer to Jesus's, saying things that the Jews didn't like as a tirade. Anyway, floated the theory at the end of a tirade against Mark Levin, a horrible, horrible Jew, ladies and gentlemen, a Jewish conservative Fox News host who called her stupid for opposing the recent U.S. attack on Iran. After criticizing Levin and saying that he should meet Jesus, I love that one, she suggested that there was a connection between Kennedy's assassination and his opposition to Israel's developing nuclear weapons. She did not name Kennedy, but he was the only president killed since the founding of Israel. Quote, she says, quote, "There was once a great president that the American people loved. He opposed Israel's nuclear program, and then he was assassinated." Okay? Now, it doesn't end there, folks, because the very honorable Mrs. Greene then goes on to say whether or not she and the president should also fear for their lives after the U.S. president rebuked Israel. Now, folks, this is very important here. First of all, we can infer from this that the Honorable Representative Greene knows full well that Israel killed the U.S. President John F. Kennedy and did so, among other reasons, principally because the president was opposing Israel's plan for developing nuclear weapons. Okay. Now, folks, if she knows that, we can infer from this that so does everybody else on Capitol Hill, and so does the president. Do we really imagine for a moment, folks, that she has not had conversations of this type with Donald Trump? That they have not talked about the fact that the U.S. president at the time, John F. Kennedy, was killed by Israel because he opposed Israel's nuclear weapons? Okay, folks, for those of you out there who doggedly hold on to this nonsense that Trump is owned by Netanyahu and owned by the Jewish lobby, where are the news stories featuring the president rushing out and rebuking the very honorable Marjorie Taylor Greene for making this statement, linking Israel assassinating John F. Kennedy to Israel's nuclear weapons? Why didn't Trump rush to Israel's defense to stuff those worms back into that can. I'm asking you out there, folks, those of you who have bought into this Trump is owned by the Jews business, why did he not come out on his Truth Social and chastise Mrs. Green, the Honorable Representative Green, for making this statement? Folks, she made this statement in cooperation and collusion, as negatively as that word sounds. She made that statement in cooperation and collusion with the president. Would you agree with me on that, Stas?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you've just called out yet again the Truth Movement alternative media. I don't think you're going to get invited to the alternative media Christmas party this year. Because with that, you just nailed them. Of course. Of course. I mean, Biden would basically immediately run out of the shower into the street to condemn that.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately. He would be on all day. He would be using an F-bomb.
Absolutely.
On Monty
Taylor
Green.
Shut the F up. Yeah.
Not to mention trying to arrest her or something crazy. Or yeah, she is the opposite of Lindsey Graham. And it's amazing. She's actually saying Mike Viper's work out in the open.
Yep.
There's a guy, Benny Johnson, that's pretty good, and he's got a decent following. You know, about one half of Tucker Carlson's, and he came right out with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wing of the MAGA that is questioning Israel, just like there's some in the Democratic Party that are feeling sorry for the Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
and both.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know how big they are in both of them. I know the big money suppresses both of them.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's picking up on Green. And I guess, you know, I've said this to you, and you've corrected me with some realism, but I still can't help thinking that a big part of the alternative media just doesn't like Trump, and they like to sound very Democracy Now, NPR, very posh, and get on like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, and, you know, and almost that they like the way the head of the IDF guy talks, or the Emoussad, or even Netanyahu. He's just, oh, he's measured, and he just, well, they're trying to kill us, and they should just take the help where they can get it. You know, I'm more and more of the opinion he's like one of the only guys that could deal with the situation going on now. I think
yeah.
they would. I would like to see any of these guys go up against them, Patrick, whatever, Russ. Oh, Trump's an idiot. They would crumple. You get in a room, imagine what it's like in a room with all these Mossad killers and Netanyahu is swearing at you in a room, and Trump
mm-hmm.
is used to it because he is a New York City construction worker.
Yep.
And he can do it. And he had, that's why the ugly truth is concerned about the reaction of Donald Trump, because he's gone toe to toe with them and enjoyed it and gone golfing, but something happened to make him really tired, really scared, and really nervous there. And it's like you said to me off the show, it's got to be nuke threat because nothing else is that fast, even a COVID poison
yep.
Attack, even a COVID bio attack. It had to be that type of one. And I don't know if it's crazy. I've developed the simultaneous New York City or whatever nuke attack / Tehran
sure.
attack.
Sure.
Just moments after that, it would give them carte blanche.
Yep.
And now, you know, if the portion of the New York City that didn't get blown up was like, you're an idiot, Trump. You should have been hard like Bibi. You let us down.
Mm-hmm.
This that's going to happen because you fooled around. You didn't unleash on the Iranians, and therefore it's your fault type of thing. They seem to be, but they're going right now with the you're an idiot, you didn't take out the plants, and that's CNN and Fox are questioning that, and nobody in the alternative media is saying no, that's good, let people save face, because Trump is in a situation where the two are fighting. He cannot afford to let one side lose too much face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to calm this fight down. That is World War III happening.
Yeah.
He's got to stop World War III. We're in the midst of World War III. People saying we're going to have World War III. Are you kidding me? We are in it.
Yeah.
I don't even believe people talk. We are in it, and he's trying to stop it, and nobody's really lending him a proper hand, except for Marjorie Taylor Greene and The Ugly Truth Show.
Yeah.
Yes, come on, Miss Greene. It is that bad. Why not? Come on the show.
Yeah. yeah, no, very good point, Stas. And again, I think, you know, okay, let me just reference something. I received an email from a very dear friend of mine. I haven't responded to it yet, so I'm going to respond to it now. My friend attached the article that I just read where the president says, I just halted a massive attack on Tehran that Israel was planning. And my friend made a little comment. She said, it certainly feels like we're living in a script. Okay. Well, what I was planning to write, but which I'm just going to say here on the program, there is a script, folks. There are two scripts, okay? Now, my friend sent this, I assume, maybe I could be wrong. My friend sent this in the with the understanding, at least implied, that nothing is real, that everything that's taking place in front of us is all scripted, quote-unquote, and that, you know, everybody got together ahead of time and they agreed on what they were going to do in order to put together this big production. All right, well, folks, yes, there are scripts involved in this. But we should not make the catastrophic error of thinking that all of this isn't real. Okay? It's real. It's as real as it gets. You look at what is happening in Gaza. All of the death and destruction and murder and genocide that has taken place. Okay? That is real. You look at what has been going on in the Ukraine for the last 3 years. Okay? That's not fantasy. That's not a hoax. It's real. Okay. You listen to these people, including powerful people in Israel, saying we have to make sure that Iran wins and that Russia loses. And, you know, if it means that we have to go nuclear to do this, then fine. That's real, folks. It's not scripted. Yeah, there is collusion taking place. Okay, and I'll say this again, what we have discussed on this program many times, which is that if you go back and watch the second of the Godfather films, where Michael Corleone and, what's his name, the Jew, Hyman Roth, okay, when they're face to face with each other, they are very deferential, very friendly, father and son, but the two are out to kill the other one. Okay, so Michael Corleone has his script. Hyman Roth has his script. Okay, and on the surface, it appears as though these two gangsters are, you know, friendly with each other and all of the rest of that, but they're actually planning to kill the other. Now, this is the situation in which we find ourselves. We have two scripts here, folks. We have the script of these Armageddonists who are out to set the world on fire, people like Netanyahu. And then you have the script of people who are out to prevent this, like Donald Trump. Okay? President Trump. This is the real deal, folks. And this is why I and my partner here, why we spend the amount of time we do in trying to clean up everybody else's mess. Okay? Because whether they realize it or not, they are not part of the solution, folks. They are part of the problem. If they are adding, you know, again, going back to the comparison that we made about the ship of state and the captain who has to rely on the winds in order to push that ship of state safely into port, any, you know, winds that are blowing in the opposite direction are going to make his job harder. And so, even though, you know, and obviously we don't want to assign more influence to some of these people than is necessary. Nevertheless, folks, if you're going to blow it, the sails in the direction where the ship needs to go. Don't blow against it by tossing all of this nonsense out there into the blabosphere. Right now, people in the middle, okay, that what they refer to as the silent majority. Right now, people are open to listening. They're open to hearing things now that they weren't open to hearing 10 years ago or 20 years ago or right after 9/11, okay? Now, because their lives are being impacted in a profoundly negative way about the state of the country and the state of the world, they are open to hearing things now that they wouldn't necessarily be willing to hear before. Even things that are uncomplimentary about the children of Israel, okay? They're not as squeamish about hearing the word Jew now as they would have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever. So at this moment, when they are open to hearing things, let's not blow it by telling them that Donald Trump is just a tool of the Illuminati or of the Jesuits or of the Freemasons or whatever flavor of BS happens to be the flavor of the day out there right now. Okay. Like we've said before on this program, folks, we're all involved in this war. We're all involved in this intelligence operation. We want to make sure that we don't contribute to the enemy's efforts by saying stupid things. Stas, I realize I hogged the discussion there for a few minutes. What do you have to say about that?
I would parallel or join in by saying, again, hammering on the point, if anybody out there is quarterbacking, judging what the supreme leader of Iran is doing, judging what Putin has done, and probably most of all, what Donald Trump has done, look what they've got up against them. They've got the trillion-dollar media. They have got spies everywhere. Iran is filled with the MEK, ready to go everywhere. They facilitated that Rising Lion operation. Same thing in Russia. The drone attack deep into their country, way up into Siberia. And people are going like, oh, well, Trump plays checkers. He doesn't do 4D chess. And YouTube titles like Trump is going to nuke Iran. Trump is going after Iran. I mean, you know, not to overdo the power or whatever, but they coupled with the strength of Israel, the United States, they could go in there and clean it up with not too much trouble, I believe. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe the hypersonics arc, they did the damage. I'll accept that if I'm wrong. But I mean, with the Israelis, do not get in the way of the Americans and unleash them. They don't have any problem. When they do, when powerful Jewish interests in the United States, like in the Vietnam War, go against them, then it just gets elongated and we lose. I do think that. And I don't want to like it. I wish for a balance of power. And I don't want the whole world to be the culture of the United States, where it's heading, which is what they clearly want the whole world to be like here.
Mm-hmm.
If there's they were chasing a single Bedouin who didn't like the Israelis and didn't like LGBTQ and going way up into the mountain of Afghanistan and trying to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. It's insane. That's what I feel is like. That's what that guy, Alexander Dugin, he tapped into that. He mm-hmm. basically put it this way. They want the whole world to be liberal.
Yeah.
And what he meant, what he really meant was Judaic.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like RFK. Sorry, I went on a tangent.
That's okay. No, your tangents are brilliant. Last story that we're going to talk about, folks, before we close out the program. Vice President of the United States, Vance, said something very interesting on his X account. Okay. This appeared on the Israel National News website. Now listen very carefully, folks, to what he said. The story reads as follows. U.S. Vice President Vance stated that President Trump's actions against the Iranian nuclear program are emblematic of a new foreign policy doctrine that will benefit America and the world. Okay, sounds fine, sounds good. Vance wrote on X as follows, folks, quote, "We are seeing a foreign policy doctrine develop that will change the country and the world for the better. Number one, clearly define an American interest. Number two, negotiate aggressively to achieve that interest. And number three, use overwhelming military force if necessary." Okay, now I'm going to read this again, folks. Vice President Vance wrote on X as follows, quote, "We are seeing a foreign policy doctrine develop that will change the country and the world for the better. Number one, clearly define an American interest. Number two, negotiate aggressively to achieve that interest. Number three, use overwhelming force if necessary." Now, folks, again, as we have pointed out on this program many times and as we try to repeat often, whenever we are parsing or deciphering or decoding something that is coming out of powerful players such as the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, Marjorie Taylor Greene, whoever, and Netanyahu himself, we have to look at all of this in more than just a one-dimensional or even just a two-dimensional way. And we have to factor into this the absolute, you can't do without it, you have to factor into this how the Jewish brain works. Now, if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and the President of the United States has just brought about a successful strike against the capacity for a Middle Eastern country, in this case Iran, to develop nuclear weapons. And no, folks, we're not saying that the Iranians were developing nuclear weapons. I'm just talking about the accepted narrative here. If you're Benjamin Netanyahu and the President of the United States has just successfully destroyed the nuclear weapons program, quote-unquote, of a Middle Eastern country, and then the Vice President comes out and says, we, you know, as a result of what has just taken place, we are seeing a new foreign policy doctrine develop that will change the world. And then he goes down the list. He says, number one, you clearly define an American interest. Number two, you negotiate aggressively to achieve that interest. And number three, you use overwhelming force if necessary. Okay, so folks, even though on a surface level, on a superficial level, the Vice President seems to be talking about President Trump's successful military actions against Iran, because let's face it, folks, the President said it's in America's national interest, our foreign policy interest, that Iran not have nuclear weapons. Okay, and then number two, the President, in pursuing that foreign policy doctrine, he tried negotiating with the Iranians. Okay? And then number three, when the negotiations stalled or broke down, he went in using overwhelming military force. Okay. Now, if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, folks, if you are the head of Mossad, if you are Ron Dermer, who is Netanyahu's strategic affairs advisor, or any of these other insane people in Israel who intend to incinerate the world, and you are listening to the Vice President say these things, Stas, what are they thinking to themselves? What are they saying amongst themselves in the aftermath of the Vice President of the United States making that statement?
I think they're hopeful that there's a new order under what Vance is saying.
No.
That it's a...
No.
No, I'm way off.
No. If you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you're listening to the Vice President of the United States talking about the successful use of first negotiations and then military force in ending the nuclear weapons capacity on the part of a Middle Eastern country, If you're Benjamin Netanyahu, then what you are hearing, even though nobody else seems to be hearing it, what you're hearing is that Donald Trump is coming for Israel's nuclear weapons. Okay.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
That's fine. No problem. I sprung that on you. That is exactly what Vice President Vance was saying, folks, is that today it's Iran and tomorrow it's Israel. Now, are we just pulling this out of thin air? No, folks, we're not. Again, you have to go back and you have to read the interview that President Trump gave 40 years ago with that magazine, where he talked about specifically that the Middle East needs to be nuclear weapons free. Okay, because it's such a volatile place, there cannot be any, and really what he said is, we shouldn't be giving, nobody should be having nuclear weapons except the United States. And he specifically singled out in that interview, folks, very interestingly, he singled out France. Now, why is that important, folks? Because France was intimately involved in Israel's development of nuclear weapons. Now, he didn't say that in the article, in the interview. He didn't mention Israel, that I can remember off the top of my head. But rest assured, folks, going back to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago with regards to Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments, these are the kinds of conversations that are taking place between Donald Trump, President Trump, and his inner circle of people. They understand that we really are in a very, very bad place, and that Israel, like he said in the soundbite that you heard, folks, we got to get Israel to calm down. We got to calm them down. Okay, he's clearly, within the context of that specific situation, he's saying that Israel is the problem. Okay. And if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, folks, and you have figured out that the president is coming for your nuclear weapons, then what do you do? What do you do? Now, folks, this is very important here, and we're going to try to squash this next discussion here that could go on for hours and hours into just a few minutes. But there's something very important that you have to understand in all of this. Everybody thinks that Israel developed nuclear weapons because she needs them for her self-defense, because she's living, in a sea of hostility. She's surrounded by a billion Muslims that want to kill them and blah, blah, blah. No, folks, that's not true. That's the surface level explanation that is given why Israel has to have nuclear weapons. But what it really boils down to, folks, again, you have to understand the diabolical nature of Torah Judaism, and you have to understand the deranged manner in which the Jewish brain functions. Okay? We say often on this program, and we write often on the website, that the Jews are determined to incinerate the world. And they are, folks. Okay, this isn't me saying this. This isn't, take your pick, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad saying this, folks. They really are intent upon incinerating the world. Now, you say to yourself, okay, well, why? Why would anyone want to do this? Because, folks, they believe that they have been religiously commanded to do this. Okay. They have all of their prophecies saying that the descendants of Jacob are going to incinerate the descendants of Esau, and and that only after that will the descendants of Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob, folks, are the Jews. Okay, this is all going back to all this old stuff found in the Old Testament. Okay, but specifically, some of these prophecies from Obadiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and all the rest of that stuff, it's very clear where it says, and I'm just quoting off the top of my head, folks, I don't have the file in front of me, but they're saying, that Jacob will be like a fire pot amidst all of the sheaves, and will incinerate everything from the right of him and everything to the left of him. You know, it doesn't say that God is going to incinerate the world. It says that the descendants of Jacob are going to do it. And in particular, folks, one of the things that the descendants of Jacob are prophesied to do is to set the house of Esau on fire so that the house of Esau, so that nothing remains from the house of Esau. Well, folks, who or what is the house of Esau? It's the Christian West, folks. It's Europe, it's America, everywhere that the Europeans have gone. We are the house of Esau within the Jewish brain. And they believe that they are predicted and commanded to set us on fire and to reduce us to stubble. Now, does the President of the United States, is he aware of this? I don't know, folks. You know, Donald Trump, his strength is the fact that he's not a cerebral type that sits around like others who spend hours every morning reading, you know, what appears on Israel National News and Jerusalem Press. Not that I'm a cerebral type, folks, but that's what I spend my mornings doing. He's not that type. But does he, in the back of his mind, does he know that Israel's dangerous and that they're crazy and that they would be willing to set the world on fire, that they intend to set the world on fire? I think somewhere in the back of his mind, folks, he's aware of this. Okay. And I think that the entire, you know, the number one thing, it's not just preventing World War III. It's getting those nuclear weapons out of the hands of these Armageddonists before they literally set the world on fire. Stas, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Now I'm more clearly framing. I think the direction where you're going is that Vance and Trump, Trump and Vance, are preparing the MAGA and the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
For sessions like this.
Absolutely.
Just like, as we pointed out, the Zelensky meeting is really a more easier way to hear them speaking.
Yep.
You're gambling with World War III, and both Trump and Vance dressed down Zelensky.
Yep.
But we here at The Ugly Truth know that
the real target of that dressing down was
Bibi and absolutely. Israel.
Absolutely. Yes.
They were really speaking through him. And really, Zelensky is an actor, and he is a puppet, and he is really controlled through the state of Israel.
Sure.
It's not just, it's the CIA is heavy in on that over there in the so-called deep state, but it's a parallel war that's going on that has to do with what's going on in the Middle East. They've got to contain the Russians so they don't give help to anybody in,
absolutely,
in the Middle East.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the second most vital thing going on for the Israelis right now. And sometimes it takes the front seat for sometimes a little while.
Okay.
And that was,
go ahead,
why they attacked it. They attacked. That's why Trump attacked that issue. And you're gambling with World War III. Was he told the absolute truth right there. And that has to do with both these scenarios. And so he's sending messages through to that and preparing
his base
for a new
way. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And therefore, folks, this is why all of these people out there chirping from their perches about how Trump is owned by Netanyahu, he's out to start World War III, you know, is he going to nuke Iran, how much damage they're doing. They're making it harder for what he is trying to do here, which is to prepare the American people and the world for the next stage of this, which is to take away Israel's nuclear weapons. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. And so with that in mind, folks, this is why we can't screw around. We can't screw around. We cannot allow 1 second of our very limited time, 1 micro ounce of our very limited resources to be wasted. You know, we need to give this man every ounce of water we can so that he can throw it on this fire before it destroys the house of Esau, just as the Jews believe they are commanded to bring about. Anyway, folks, we were all over the place today. We had obviously a lot of technical issues. We are trying to remedy these things. If you knew, folks, if you could see the mess of wires that I have strewn all over my desk here in the Ugly Truth broadcast cave, and how Stas and I put this thing together with it's something along the lines of what the Flintstones would be doing, folks, if they were here today. So we apologize for the technical problems, but nevertheless, I think despite all of that, we managed to put together a pretty good, important conversation. Stas, anything you want to say to the good people out there before we say goodbye?
In closing, sorry I was all over the place today, guys, but remember stuff like this. Listen to the Ugly Truth carefully, because you've got guys who I do admire but have gone way off the reservation, saying Scott Ritter himself has said, I don't believe in the Samson option.
Right. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Anybody in the military and intelligence field of any kind of knowledge that's worth their weight in anything, worth talking to, knows that. This is what the Ugly Truth is talking about. This is the ultimate thing that that one of the ultimate worries, that either that's their goal to blow up the world anyway, or they're in their rage and committing so much murder and starting so much wars that they'll force other powers to attack them, and they'll have to do the Samson option.
Absolutely.
And I can't believe he said that. And he's, you know, saying Trump's narcissist, this and that. And he's leading to people to believe, that basically the hypersonic missiles are solving this thing, that they're too much.
Yeah.
That the world's last superpower, who I know I sound like an idiot, still at this time, and people can disagree with me saying, the United States still has the power.
Absolutely.
To destroy in war Iran, China, and Russia.
Yeah.
Okay, they can do it. It's trillions of bucks. Now, it is declining, and it's loaded with people that are out of shape and blah, blah, and there's divisions in the military. But this behemoth was built up. And at the current time, maybe in a short time, it won't be number one. They got that kind of lethality. And the only thing standing in the way of this golem, this attack dog, of being unleashed and killing millions of people is Donald J. Trump.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant.
He's the only guy.
Brilliant. Yeah. Stas, you are
the only guy.
You are the smartest guy in the world. I have to agree with you. I mean, keep in mind, folks,
this stuff is easy.
Yeah. Not only does Ritter say, and we're not picking on Scott Ritter, folks. Scott Ritter is a template of what unfortunately prevails all over the place out there within the alternative media. Okay. Scott Ritter, in addition to saying he doesn't believe in the existence of the Samson option, also is on the record stating that he doesn't believe that Benjamin Netanyahu would be that much of an evil individual that he would know about the impending October 7th attacks on the part of Hamas and would allow it to happen in order to launch this war. He's on the records. I heard it with my own ears, folks. He doesn't believe that Netanyahu is evil enough to do something like that. And he made this statement, folks, after tens of thousands of innocent people in Gaza had been literally just ripped to shreds. Again, we're not singling out Mr. Ritter. He is a template of an existing across-the-board problem within the alternative media of people out there who are filling the ears and the heads of, like I said earlier, folks, people who want to know, people who are willing to listen. And what they should be hearing right now is that the president is trying to prevent World War III, and not that he is a stooge and a tool of Benjamin Netanyahu. Stas, thank you very much for your invaluable contribution today. Like we say often, folks, on this program, unfortunately, you're not going to hear conversations of this type in too many other places. So that's it for today, folks. Again, it was kind of a long program. We covered a lot of material. I apologize for that. We don't like to go that long, but unfortunately, folks, when you've got to roll this giant boulder up the hill by yourself, it can be a slow and arduous process. It takes a lot longer than would normally be the case if you had other people who were helping with that very heavy lifting. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Assuming that we're all alive in the next week or so, we will be back with more of this conversation. Folks, as we say often on this program, don't just go out and pray for a miracle. Go out and do what you can to help bring that miracle about. It's not going to happen on its own, folks. Any doubts that you have about that, just look at what is taking place in Gaza. Okay? That's what's headed our way unless we get enough of us, like Paul Revere riding his horse on, you know, at midnight on April the 18th, 19th, and warning the Minutemen to wake up. That's where we all are now, folks. You know, we don't want to be riding through the countryside on our horses saying, Donald Trump is owned by the Jews. Okay, so we'll close off with that, folks. Until we see each other next time, take care.